You are. Okay, we're going to call the Taney County Planning Commission Public Hearing Monday, February the 8th, 2016, to order. Bob, can you establish a quorum, please?
Okay, Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Huddell. Steve Adams.
Here.
Brad Lawrence.
Here.
Doug Fabian.
Here.
And Randy Fogel let us know that he wouldn't be here. Randy Hayes.
Here.
Howard Kitchen.
Here.
And George Kramer.
Is here.
We have established a quorum.
Okay, the next thing on our little agenda is election of the 2016 officers. You want me to explain anything else to you?
We haven't had any caucuses yet.
Somebody needs to make a motion if you want to appoint somebody new or if you want to leave it like it is, however you want to do it.
I'd make a motion to keep the slate officers the same as currently established.
Somebody want to second that?
Second that.
Everybody in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Well, Dave, looks like it's me and you again.
You be here.
Okay, explain the meeting procedures, Bob.
Okay, I'd like to welcome you to the February 8th, 2016 Taney County Planning Commission public hearing. Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 permit application, which is filed with the Planning Commission staff. At this time, I'd like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening. A staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of each site and any questions for staff. As the chairman indicated, if you wish to comment at the public hearing, a sign-in sheet has been provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The public hearing shall be closed upon conclusion of public comment. The Division 3 permit applications heard this evening shall be voted upon during the Tuesday, February 16th, Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Okay, Acacia Club Affordable Mobile Home Park has requested to move their deal till March the 14th. 2016 at the public hearing, so we need to approve that. Or
yeah, basically what's happened on that is unfortunately the notices were sent out to the members of the public. Right after those notices were sent out, the representative contacted the planning department office to let us know that he was going to be out of country. Essentially, he's requesting that this be continued until March 14th.
Okay.
Until
how many of you all come here tonight for that?
Sorry about that. We didn't know quick enough.
I think as a commission, wouldn't we have the ability to, since they made the effort to come here, if they want to get up and speak and then table our discussion until the... Would that be appropriate or not?
Well, I know we had spoken some about that. I ended up presenting this question to the county commission's legal counsel, and he really strongly recommended that the planning commission continue this until the applicant could be present.
Sorry about that, but I think that's proper procedure.
Yeah. And I hate it, but he really...
Did he give you any reason why we should do that, Bob?
Basically, what's happened on this is the staff was going to recommend that this be continued to today's date. We held a public hearing on this in January. the staff found that the notices weren't sent out the 15 days prior to the hearing. And so he felt that since we were having to push this till this February date and the attorney wasn't available because of an already scheduled vacation, he just highly recommended that we continue it.
Did they indicate whether they were going to make any changes in the application or not?
It's my understanding that there won't be any changes made.
Okay,
we need to vote on this.
I would make a motion that we continue this on the March meeting.
Second. Everybody in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Folks, we're really sorry that this has happened, but this is going to be, this is continued to March 14th. So I'm sorry that we wasted your time for coming out here, but if you'd want to come back March 14th, we're here at 10.
We'll be back. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to the Dollar General store, right, Bob?
Uh-huh. This is case number 2015-27. The project is the Dollar General store number 16542. The applicant or current property owner is NCY Properties, LLC. The representative on this is RSBR Investments, LLC, Rodney Parrott, Overland Engineering, LLC. The project is going to be located, or is proposed to be located, within the 900 block of State Highway 86, Ridgedale, Missouri. And we'll zoom in here to the property in question. It's in the Oliver Township, Section 18, Township 21, Range 21. And we've got a view of the property from the north, south, of course, east and west.
Back to that other picture, Bob.
Huh?
Second one.
Oh. This one here.
That shows the entrance is all on the west side. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, they'll have a shared entrance mm-hmm. here.
Might be on the west side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it takes the
property.
Yeah.
The request, the...
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, that's good. The representative is requesting approval of a Division 3 permit, allowing for the construction of an approximately 9,100 square foot metal building, which would serve as a new location for the Dollar General store. The background on this, on December 23rd, the Taney County planning staff approved minor subdivision 2015-22, which created a two-lot minor subdivision named the Minor Subdivision of NCY Properties. And it basically created the three-acre tract in question and then also the two-acre tract with the existing building that was formerly a dental office. The property in question, like I said, is Tract 1, and it contains approximately 3 acres. The property contains an existing commercial entrance off of State Highway 86, and that existing entrance is proposed to be utilized as really a joint entrance for both tracks. They have a recorded ingress-egress easement. The representative is now requesting the Planning Commission approval again of a Division 3 permit, which would allow for the Dollar General store. The current application was approved for concept on December 21st, 2015. In review, per the submitted site plan, the Dollar General store will be served by a shared commercial driveway. The existing commercial driveway currently serves the existing commercial building located upon Track 2, located at 920 State Highway 86. And basically on Track 2 for a number of years, that was a dental office. It's currently vacant, but and then there's also an existing residence just a little further there, too. The submitted site plan indicates that the proposed Dollar General store will be served by a total of 30 parking spaces, including two van-accessible handicap spaces. And basically, this would exceed the minimum parking requirements of the Development Guidance Code. The property in question will be served by an on-site wastewater treatment system, which would be permitted via Scott Sterrett, the on-site wastewater permitting person with the planning department. The project engineer has verbally indicated that the impervious surface limitations of Table H1 of the Development Guidance Code will not be exceeded on the 3-acre lot. So as long as they can demonstrate that it's not going to have over a certain percentage impervious surface, there's actually a provision that allows for the stormwater management plan to not be required, so long as they can demonstrate that the impervious surface is less than that. The representative has indicated that the Dollar General store will employ 5 to 6 employees. Per the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, buffering would not be required between this use and other existing commercial or industrial uses. The adjoining property immediately to the north is vacant lots within the Ozarks Paradise Village subdivision. The adjoining property immediately to the south is State Highway 86 with the Oakmont Hills subdivision, or Big Branson Cedars, being located further to the south. The adjoining property immediately to the east is the former dental office and also a residence located here. And the adjoining property immediately to the west is kind of a mix of residence and also commercial storage. The project received a score of -4 on the policy checklist. Out of a maximum possible score of 39, the relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, use compatibility, and traffic. And the staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this, approves Division 3 Permit 2015-27, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and the Taney County Road Standards that include plans for sediment and erosion control, stormwater management, or demonstration that the impervious surface limitations of Table H1 will be complied with, a land grading permit for all non-agricultural land disturbances of over 1 acre, D, utility easements and building line setbacks, E, improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District and the On-Site Wastewater Permitting Division of the Planning Department shall be submitted to the Planning Department office, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. Third, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Fourth, for Division 2 permits shall be required for all applicable structures in the development. Five, prior to the issuance of Division 2 certificates of conformance, the developer shall first present a final inspection for the Western Taney County Fire Protection District to the Taney County Planning Department office. And six, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. And we've got just a brief video of the property. And just did a quick 360. This would be the lot in question. And, of course, this is the Branson Cedars development and the existing building that was used for a dental office. And that's all I've got.
Okay. You want to come up?
I'm choked up.
Thank you. Jacob Stauffer, I'm the developer in this case. I don't know how, if you guys want me to run through it again.
Anybody got any questions for him? This would be the...
I have one specific question, and it goes to the back of the property. You mentioned there's a buffer of a retaining wall and a fence.
Yes, sir.
And, Bob, there was a slide earlier that went to land use compatibility.
Okay.
But what's behind that 10-foot line are residential lots, which was the older gentleman that showed up here. And it's my understanding in the development code that if there's any change to land that's adjacent to residential property, that there has to be a buffer zone per the development code. So that was my one question I wanted to have addressed today. And it specifically is under absolute policies is required to be a landscape buffers is what's mentioned in the development code for residential property adjacent.
And I don't know offhand, does it give a width of that, sir?
It does. Actually, here's a copy.
Great.
I made copies of everybody like the... And its significance amounts what it talks about literally of distance of 10 to 15 feet, 30 feet, 30 feet, 10 to 15 feet between residential and commercial.
Right, and Sherman Cogdill and I have been in frequent discussion since the last meeting. I believe he owns all the lots behind us, and we've agreed that we'll do a double-sided wooded fence 8 feet in height between us and him. His primary concern, he had two concerns. One was he didn't want the ugly side of the fence facing him, so I just said we'll have two fences with the same side, so mine looks just like his, and he wanted his buddy to get the cherry tree off my lot so he could wood carve it. So we were in agreement on those two things. And I'm going to have to look at the width to see what we meet, but obviously if this is part of the code, we're going to meet it.
Okay. And what I bring up is, and I'm the new guy on the block, so let me know if I'm not reading this correctly, but it falls under absolute policies, and if it's an absolute policy, it's really hard to vary from an absolute, right, reading the development code, but to vary it, from that?
It is. One thing... And I don't know, I didn't know which section.
9.1.3
Okay.
It states on the landscape buffer, developments will provide a buffer zone between any use and single family residential that exists at the time a permit is issued for land use change or a division to a permit. And there's actually a very specific Appendix I that I made a copy of as well that speaks to the type and size of the row of planning and the size within the code to be met.
There's actually another section where it allows for a privacy fence or wall or berm even to substitute.
Even a chain link fence if it's slatted.
Yeah.
I don't remember where that's
at. Yeah, it's 6.1.3.
You didn't find that in your search? It says...
Yeah,
you'd be about the retaining wall plus a 6-foot privacy fence.
I just raised the question.
Yeah.
most people decide to go with the fence because it's considerably cheaper. And we've found in the past that establishing these buffering areas, nobody maintains them anyway, so we've been letting them go over the fence because people don't want to maintain that. They want to clear it off. They don't want to fool with it.
That's one of the things. My concern is the distance. Right now it's proposed at 10 feet setback, and if you look at the distance of what is under the absolute policy, the minimum it could be would be 80 feet between a commercial or a change in land use and a residential piece of property.
Well, I would contend with that we're actually an existing commercial lot, because the lot we were part of was a dental office, is the existing use of the lot, and the recent administrative lot split was basically just went into effect, and it hasn't changed. The use of our lot will be consistent with the prior use, which is commercial.
Okay, anybody else got any questions?
If anyone needs them, I have my site plans again. Somebody also asked our finished floor last time. It's 1318 is going to be our finished floor here. The
rear adjacent is about 1326. Our building's roughly, I think, 10 or 12 feet high. It's 110 inches in the back, so it's going to be almost 10 feet high. So we're only going to have a few feet showing above the grade in the rear,
and then we'll put the fence on top of that. So we're going to be screened very, very well from our Sherman to the rear.
Can you go back to your pictures there, Bob? Uh-huh. Please.
Do you want?
Right there, one of those are.
Probably have one in between.
Yeah, where's the nearest house from that? That'd be the nearest one.
And our building's going to be right here. And then you have one over there.
Sir, where's your building going to be again?
It's going to be right here. No, it's fine. It's going to be right here by the entrance.
So we're in the clearing, essentially.
Yeah, in the flat part there where the sign is right now.
Well, I could be wrong, but with the dentist's office on one side and the commercial storage buildings on the other, I don't see this as a land use change. Or am I incorrect in that assumption?
This was part of the dental office property, isn't it?
Yes, this 5-acre tract was a single unified tract.
It was part of the same lot that had the dental office.
Was the dental office operating under a special use permit?
I believe it was a Division 3.
Yeah, I think so.
When they got the permit for that, were they talking about the whole tract, or did they isolate that building?
I can't remember. I was here when it was done, but I can't remember exactly whether it was divided or not.
I think the use was pretty specific at that time, though. I mean, I think it was approved specifically as a dental office, but I don't know.
I think it was a pediatrician that went in there before the dental office did. Hmm. Dr. Stiff.
Yeah. Yeah, now that you said that, that is right. That is right.
If memory serves me correctly, and then after he left, I think John Pike did the building.
Yeah.
That is right. You're right.
John done the building.
Well, we haven't forgot everything, have we?
Hmm. And he wasn't in there very long.
No, he wasn't there too long.
Stuff over. Anyway,
But I don't remember whether the whole lot was included in it or not.
And the other thing I would note on here is that it's talking about buffers between existing single-family residential that exists at the time a permit is issued. And so I would also contend there's no existing single-family residence.
I read that as well, and I took it. But my take on that would be those are residential lots.
They could eventually, yes.
Right.
But they're not there right now.
Yeah.
And my general theory is I want to be a very good neighbor. If you guys want me to do landscaping back there, I'm more than happy to do it.
Just like Dave said, I mean, to be honest, are you going to keep that up over the years? That fence, much buffering zones.
I think being consistent with what we have done in the past, that we've let other people put fences up that were screening fences, and my personal opinion is that will work here.
I think a fence looks better anyway than putting some stuff back there that's going to grow up. If they're not going to maintain it, then it looks like a brush pile.
That's right.
You know, the fence is a better deal to begin with.
Right.
If it gets where it's looking bad, you go back there and stain it or paint it or whatever.
Right. And Mr. Cogdill, he seemed perfectly satisfied with the fence.
Does he own all the lots adjoining you in the rear?
At least the ones that are directly to the rear of where we're building.
Yeah, I talked to him a little bit, but I didn't know how many he had.
It was two or three lots that he had back there.
I don't believe he owns the house.
No, that's my understanding as well. He didn't have any improvements back there.
But who's this?
This is our neighbor to the...
Oh, you're a neighbor? Okay. Yeah, you spoke last time, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's your house on past the dentist's office, correct?
If I may, sure.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. The dentist's office being here,
right.
My house is right there.
Right there in the top.
Yes, sir.
Barely see it.
Barely can.
You can barely see that house. And then this house is gone already, and he and I spoke about this, and we have very similar feelings.
Well, how many feet that, Bob, from there up to his house? I guess it's six. It was in the 600.
Well, you were notified.
You notified.
Yes, sir. I was.
Yeah. So he's got to be within the 600 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
He got to be within the 600 feet.
Okay. Anybody else got any questions for?
I see that you've got your septic tank or septic area noted on here. I do think they have to be at least 10 feet away from your property line. Is that right, Bob? Your laterals.
And we'll make sure to meet that.
I think that's correct. Yeah,
we'll get that moved. And the system. It'll be it's an advanced drip system. Doug Carmichael out of Springfield's doing it, but we'll make sure that our leach field is at least 10 feet from the line.
Okay. Anybody else got any questions?
Well, I do, if not of you. Is he signed up to speak?
Who?
This gentleman back
there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll delay mine until he takes the podium.
Yeah, anybody else got any questions? More questions for Jacob?
Thank
no?
You.
Thank you, Jacob.
Thank you.
Jason, you want to come up?
Thank you. My name is Jason Brook. I live somewhat adjacent to the property that we're speaking
of. Can you roll that down, Bob, where we can see that?
Yeah,
please.
How about that one? And yours
there
is
you go.
Here.
Yes, sir, that's correct. I expressed concerns last time. I still have those concerns. One thing I didn't talk about last time I'd like to touch on is the gal from Branson Cedars, hit on it, is the increase in traffic. You know, it was said that this may add an additional 200 vehicles per day to an already very busy Highway 86. You know, that's a concern of mine because the traffic in that area is, I mean, it's resort traffic. Everybody flies and goes about as fast as they can. So I think that's going to create a dangerous situation. The other question and concern that I have is if this is allowed to go through, what does that open up the remaining portion of that dentist office to be turned into? I look at the dental office, and when I purchased my property, and looking at that dental office that was vacant at that time, the dentist office is built to fit the neighborhood. If you look at it, it's wood-sided. I mean, it looks like Big Cedar Lodge, or it looks like Branson Cedars. And a big concern of mine, again, is having a huge tin building with a bright yellow sign. It does not fit our neighborhood at all. And, you know, in my shoes, imagine what that would do to your property value in your backyard. You know, I'm very concerned about that.
Okay. Anybody got any questions for him?
Yes, I do.
Dave?
Yes, sir.
Where did we get this figure of 200 cars per day?
I believe it came from the developer.
And we'll have about 200 trips per day, not unique trips. So it's not going to increase the trips. Just we'll have 200 customers a day of people going down.
Okay. But I think then that using that, we've taken it out of context. I mean, the way this thing here on this memo came down to us on that, that's going to be like there's 200 new cars there every day on the highway. And that's not true.
Well, and maybe I'm misunderstanding. And again, I guess I'm here to learn as much as I am to...
Well, I'm not to learn a hope myself.
Share my own opinion. If that's a misunderstanding on my part, then...
Well, I mean, if it's a concern, I mean, of course we're all concerned about our safety and the traffic out there, but
that is a
state highway. And, I mean, we have no control over who drives on the state highway.
Sir, I understand that.
And the 200 cars that you pick up, he picks up. Mm-hmm. It's part of people that's running that highway anyway. They're going to stop in there to buy something.
Most of them are just existing traffic and will stop, I think.
How can that be, how can we quantify that it's existing traffic?
We can't any more than we can quantify.
Well, I know, and that's what I'm getting at.
200 cars.
It's got to be pretty much local people that's running from there to Blue Eye or someplace going home that's stopping at General Dollar or Dollar General to buy something or tourists. And it's still going to be regular traffic coming through there. 200 cars, or they're stopping there at the gas station up at the top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're going in Big Cedar.
The gas station up at the top of the hill or the entrance to Big Cedar has been greatly improved to where that's a lot safer right now.
And that came before us, too.
I understand that, but I guess I'm commending them on what they've done up there because that intersection pulling in and out of that gas station was a disaster.
We have no control over what the highway department will or will not approve.
Yes, sir.
But we do require that they have highway department approval before we will go ahead and approve the project. Mm-hmm. But this says right here, it says they had received approval from MoDOT for the additional 200 cars, and that's not correct. In my mind, I mean, there will be some additional. I'm not saying mm-hmm. that there won't, but they won't all be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but most of them will be existing cars that go through there every day.
Well, we don't need to debate it here.
No. I understand that.
I just wanted to get a clarification on that because I didn't understand.
That's my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong.
We had some really good way to figure out whether this is a good calculation or this is just a number somebody pulled out of the air.
Most certainly.
Thank you.
No, I understand that, sir.
Understanding it right, that's your judgment of how many customers you'll have a day is the 200?
Right. We're going to do...
That's my understanding of how that is that's how many cars will... How many customers will fill in there? Not necessarily...
It's not going to... I don't see how it would be extra traffic myself. It's it's everyday traffic that's going through there.
This is an old platted subdivision. And you can see the lot started from the highway. They left that area in there. Right. And to me, they left that for commercial, even though it was, at the time the plat was done, there wasn't planning and zoning in effect, and no zoning at all. But usually, you on a state highway, that would be more valuable frontage for commercial than lots. If you had 100 lots setting through there, all of them fronting on the highway, that would really be a hazard. So it is my guess or my assumption that was left for commercial.
And the next piece of property on west of there, we approved storage buildings in there a good many years ago.
Yeah.
So it is commercial.
It's currently not used commercially, though.
Well, right.
It's Johnny Morris. It's my understanding owns that, and it sits, and there's nothing there. There's no traffic. Nothing goes in and out there.
I know, but it's an approved commercial. If somebody wanted to put it in there and do it,
mm-hmm.
the approval don't necessarily go away if you put in the same use.
And this may segue into
zoning something if it went away every time somebody shut it down for a while.
Certainly. And this may be a good segue into my second part of that question, sir, is that if the Dollar General is allowed to exist, then what does that open up the remaining dental office for? I mean, can somebody put a bar in there?
It has no bearing on the dental office at all, really, by our code.
Okay.
If they're going to put something in that building over there, it would have to go in as a similar use to what was in there, and I don't think a bar would be the same as a dental office.
And that's, again,
it
from a learning standpoint.
There would be a bar go in there.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a strip club go in there. There wouldn't be X-rated stuff.
Certainly.
We've taken care of that a long time ago in Taney County.
And I appreciate that. No, certainly.
Well, and I understand your fears.
No, yeah, it's...
I'm not...
And I have nothing against this gentleman. I've got nothing against Dr. Yanders. In fact, I used to be one of his patients. But... It's scary because I have teenage kids and I have a teenage daughter that pulls out onto Highway 86 every day when she drives to school. And the thought of 200 more cars going down that road at breakneck speed because that's what they do scares the...
Well, it's everywhere.
But it is. It is, and it's part of life. I understand that.
But I understand
she pulls out a big cedar.
I'm sorry?
She pulls out a big cedar.
Onto 86 traffic, yes, sir. She pulls out a Devil's Pool right there on 86, yes, sir.
Yes, I know. My grandson gets on the bus every morning on 160, and they have to come around the curve there, and it just scares me to death some mornings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think Devil's Pool is a tougher place than that will be to pull out of?
Devil's Pool is at least 25 miles an hour. Is that what you're asking, or I'm not sure I understand your question, sir?
No, I mean, when you pull out of the Devil Pool onto 86, is that a better place to pull out than right there?
I think there's a little better line of sight.
Yeah,
it's a straight shot.
I'll disagree.
There again, if you get enough stuff along there, if the neighbors get together and they petition the highway department on this and stuff like that, and they see that it is a good thing to do, they will put a speed limit through there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk somebody into enforcing it. I'm sure they wouldn't complain a bit about the traffic going a little slower through there.
Certainly, and I understand that the people across the road will not either.
That's your alternative. I mean, if you want to work with the highway department and get them to say, hey, this is a congested area, let's slow this down. And it's happened other places. And
certainly. Back to the dental office, though. From a dental office is a lot less intrusive to a neighborhood or a pediatrician's office or whatever the doctor was that was freely seen there than what a retail store is, I guess. And maybe that's just an opinion. But if I could ask the commission to consider requiring that the Dollar General look to fit the neighborhood a little better, you know, be built with siding on it, at least. That's Western Taney County. You know, they remodeled that fire station at the end of the road right there, station number 4. They put log siding on it, and it fits the neighborhood. It looks like it's supposed to be there. You know, the dental office, it's got wood siding on it. It fits the neighborhood. Yeah, it's still a commercial building, but it's not intrusive at all. I mean, it looks like a house. And
in your opinion?
Yes, sir. Well, and I realize I am sharing opinions.
I'm bringing out that
certainly.
I'm not belittling you at all, but it brings out that there is many opinions out there.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Many opinions out
there. There are. But an opinion from, you know, a standpoint of being intrusive, I think it's a lot less intrusive than what we're talking about.
Dollar General stores is all over the country, and they all look alike.
I understand that.
I don't.
I mean, there's just one 6 miles away from where this one's being built. In Hollister.
Yeah. Have you got one down at Ridgedale down to rent? No, you ain't got nothing down around the gas station down there, do you?
No, we actually call this Ridgedale store. I know it may be in Blue Eye.
No, you're not Blue Eye. You're a long way.
You're a long way from
You're not from around here, are you?
If it was in Blue Eye, he wouldn't be here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes, sir.
When you get to the store site, you call me and let me know how long it takes you to get to Blue Eye.
you know, I'm sure
it's a great river.
Sure, General Dollar has Dollar General has done their studies, or they wouldn't be putting one in here. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as need.
Sure.
And so, and having them, and I don't think we have the authority to tell them what kind of a building they can build. I mean,
no.
We've got height and stuff like that, but as far mm-hmm. as telling them they can't use metal siding, they're going to use vinyl siding or wood siding or all that, I don't think that we have that kind of authority.
I understand.
Well, that was the point I was making.
If they, you want to get into that, you have to come to the branch.
They're not going
to
change
the planning and zoning.
You know?
Yes, sir.
But if you ain't got any more.
No, in fact,
I'm not trying to run you off.
Not at all. I'll take it that way.
We'll decide this 16th,
which will be on a Tuesday.
On Tuesday. Be on a Tuesday.
Why are we doing this on Tuesday again?
Another one of these county holidays.
President's Day on the
No, actually, gentlemen, thank you for allowing me to be heard. I appreciate it. I appreciate your input, sir. It's an education for me. I've never
a little discussion
been through
don't
this
hurt
process.
Anything on it. I don't
absolutely
think.
Not, and I appreciate that. So, sir, thank you.
Well, I think Doug here brought you up a good point why that land's out there the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they made it the subdivision from the road in. I think Doug explained that very well.
Mm-hmm.
That is the reason that there are words at now.
Well, he knows every piece of property in Tainted Stone.
And I didn't realize it myself, but after him explaining it, I do see what he means.
Mm-hmm.
If you drive that, there is very few residential driveways actually connect to 86. It's either a road, a public road, or it's a commercial business all along 86.
Yeah, there's from Devil's Pool on what I'll call to the south and east, there's three homes there that have residential entrances, and those are the only ones in that area. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you got Jones Road, Tate Road,
mm-hmm.
a lot of roads around
there.
There's
a lot of stuff down those roads.
They are.
Yeah.
Especially down Tate Road. There's a lot of stuff down in there. Anyway,
okay.
If you've not got any more questions for us.
I don't believe I do.
Have we got any more questions for him?
I'm good.
Have we got any more questions for Jacob?
I'm
good. Are we good on that? Butters? They won't be able to speak it next week. But we'll see you next Tuesday.
Okay. Thank you.
And
you're welcome to come too, but there will be no more
you're welcome
public input unless we want to ask you a question.
Yeah, I didn't mean that you wasn't welcome.
I didn't think it that way at all.
There won't be no public input next week. But you're welcome to come and listen. Whatever goes on. I'm out of kilter here.
Are we about ready to adjourn, or can we take a recess?
We got to hear from our administrator.
I'm planning to be real brief.
We
got to
hear our administrator report in a year.
This.
So if you need to.
No, I'm planning to be brief.
I'll see you all in a minute.
We need to take a break. Okay. We'll take a break, Bob.
Okay. Yeah, I'm planning to be pretty brief, so.
Oh, come on.
Unless somebody gets one of me to be.
Come on.
Thank you.
Did you come down here when the ice hit? thought you were going to.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything real detailed planned for the annual report, but everybody should have got a copy of the annual report. I didn't get it done in time to put it in the packets, but I can just kind of hit the highlights, and you guys can go through it in more detail if you want
to. Okay. Let's back up a minute. We was on this deal with Howard was talking about. Is that?
Do you have that 6.1?
Yeah, I can put it up there.
Yeah, if you don't care, put it up there.
Let's see. I say I can. Let's see.
I'm not trying to
blow
you off or Howard.
We could probably read the annual report and then review it for next week.
Yeah, we could do that, too.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Whoops.
I think that would work better.
Okay. Yeah, that might work better anyway. Sorry, I'm not used to this computer.
This deal here with the buffering and stuff, Howard brought up some good ideas, and I interpretate one or two of them different than what he did, but that's part of it. That's part of it. We need to figure out what.
10 feet is not a very big buffer zone.
How much?
10 feet.
Well, and then there's places I read in there 20.
It's according to where the application is.
Yeah, it could be 25 foot, which that's a pretty good size.
Some places we have run into, and it's just if you put a 25 foot buffer in there, it's just, and people didn't want it.
I mean, won't take
and
care
therefore
of.
They didn't maintain it. Right. And you say, well, you got to do a 25 foot buffer, and then we pass the thing, and nothing ever happens. If they put up a fence, we know something happened. That's my point. That's why we have done some of this.
And they'll maintain it.
Well, 4 or 5 years down the road, your buffer, grass buffer, is nothing but weeds. You know.
Well, I've seen where they've set aside buffer zones in the plat where it would go to the homeowner association to maintain. Well, then a lot of times that developer goes broke, and they will sell those at the courthouse steps.
Yes, sir.
And for back taxes.
Yes, sir.
And so then it goes away because somebody can get it and want to park a trailer or something in there. That's happened to several subdivisions that I
name
right here.
That
and what they call common grounds. Oh, yeah, you want to avoid that with a passion.
Well, you should, when you dedicate your plat, you should dedicate those to the public forever, just like you do a road.
Right.
And but then again, then you don't collect any taxes on them.
Well, own several green strips.
I know where you are. I was too far down the line. I didn't get any.
here's that section.
There you go. Privacy fence wall, berm. Maybe utilized in lieu of the required glide landscape buffer.
But we may need to change some of these other sections to reflect.
Yes.
Well, that's multifamily and single family, not commercial.
Well, and there's been times we've had the undisturbed state.
So, I mean, I knew at one time we had amended this to give a little bit of flexibility, basically, but it could be that some of these other sections that you've brought up may need to be amended. Well, and let me bring up one other thing while I've got you. I'm in the process, in all sincerity, of rewriting the whole book. So
I've heard that.
So I didn't, and I know I've said that for a long time.
They actually did.
But
you'll be back in the flooded area again.
Well, that's part of the problem.
I mean, no, so, no, I don't mean anything bad.
No,
I really don't, because
there's some truth to it. No, I just didn't know how we wanted to approach it at this point.
Yeah.
Well, if it's going to be rewrote, then much use of
absolute means absolute.
Right.
It takes you to come out. You don't have that judgment.
Absolute means absolute. But then you got that saying, it's not absolute anymore.
Yeah, so it does kind of...
It kind of goes against itself there, so that probably needs to be changed on the absolute, don't you think?
And we're gonna definitely do a change of commissioners this year, and they may have a different outlook on that. And like I say, it'll be an exercise of futility if we go writing a bunch of revisions now if he's going to change it anyway. And they probably, even if we thought it would be anyhow, they probably wouldn't look at it on an election year. I can understand that. I mean,
anybody?
I'm not downing anybody. I'm a realist.
Yeah.
But
it's time to work on and make changes and put it before, and then it's up to them. I mean, we cannot force them to look at it, but if they do look at it and approve it, then it's done.
Yeah, we can look at it.
That's one item. Did we find an answer on some of the drainage issues in the subdivision, or did our, because our road standards don't really cover part of that. I don't know if the stormwater covered.
They're supposed to show you when they submit your subdivision plan. They're supposed to have a stormwater plan.
Yeah, if it's engineered, it's supposed to have a stormwater plan.
But the parts that we've been running into, and I don't know if this is a requirement in there, but we've run into many areas where you had the road platted in there, you got it surrounded by lots, and you can take the water to a point, but then it goes on to private lots, and they leave no, is there any wording to cover that, and it won't necessarily be, or should that be in the stormwater plan? Stormwater plan is, what do you do with that? You build a retention pond so it doesn't leave that particular subdivision, and you control it that way, but what about the control within the road standards will cover the road. We got that covered.
Yeah.
But how do you take care of that water going between lots? There's where we run into the problem.
It almost always has been determined on an individual problem basis. And that's not really very good because you can't write a standard plan that will fit every situation. Well, I mean, that's an impossibility.
Well, I understand that, but part of it, I mean, utilities have an easement. They have an easement completely through wherever their utility is. But the easement to control your water runoff, if they decide, well, I'm going to pipe it across this lot, to take it to a retention pond so it doesn't do any undue effects on private lots, but there's no easement, nothing there. You got to go on to.
Problem you was thinking about when you're talking about this.
If we take in a subdivision road and it's got an existing drainage culvert, you've got the natural terrain of this country, you've got a hollow that goes completely through it. The culvert goes through there. We got a 50-foot right-of-way, but the culvert extends beyond. Who's obligated to maintain that? It's already on private lots on both the flow-in, flow-out side. Leaves you kind of in no man's land.
It generally winds up you boys have to fix it anyhow, is what it generally winds up. But you're getting on private property. I fully realize that.
That would come in your plan review because they've got you have to have a topo, contour map. That shows contours, and if there's during the review, which Bob does, and if he needs some advice from an engineer to see that, well, that's where you should be addressed. I think if you see a problem with drainage in a new subdivision plat, then that needs to be addressed by the developer and how he's going to fix it.
It should be the developer.
But there was one other thing that we've done before that I have a little bit of a problem. Randy, you're going to get mad at me for saying this. a developer has a piece of ground down here that he cuts into three or four pieces for his kids. Mm-hmm. All right, subdivides it. You got to drive 5 miles of 40-foot county road to get to his property, then we're retiring him with a 30-foot road curb and gutter. And I think each one of those need to be looked at on its own context. I think, if you're going to have a subdivision out here with multiple houses, density,
yeah, the roads need to be curb and gutter, and they need to be wide enough.
So I agree with you on that point. There's no reason to make one person build 2 mile of road
curb and gutter.
It falls under lot size and different things like that, but, I mean, we've already written in there, you can subdivide up. You got a big piece of property, you want to give your kids one. We've already answered that question. They can divide that off up to 6 lots, but we're not requiring them to build that road in there.
But the ones in front of their lots, you are. If there's already a road down there, county road, I agree they need to give their share of the right-of-way for a 50-foot right-of-way. I think that's good. But there was an instance, let's see, it's over here across the lake. Very end of the road came, and there was a vacant piece of ground already in a subdivision. And one time it had been lotted off into like 3 lots. Then it went back to one tract. Then the people bought that, different parties bought it, and they put the 3 lots back in. And that area, he was going to have to redo the whole cul-de-sac. And it wasn't even the county. The county hadn't accepted the road yet. Over here at Martin's, Nathan's.
You got a variance on that.
Yeah, he did on
he got a variance on the width.
Yeah,
but he still had to put curb and gutter.
That's because of the lot size, wasn't it? He added lots to
but they weren't any smaller than the lots that were already around. If the lots were compatible, at one time it had been platted. I don't know why the original developer didn't plat those. Vacant land that he left vacant.
I don't know either.
Those lots, but there was already those lots all around him had already sold. But yet, it was going to make him put the curb and gutter, even though he got a variance, he should have went and got a variance on the curb and gutter while he was doing it, but he didn't do that. He called me about that.
Yeah, part of that curb and gutter didn't actually even get put in on the first part.
Right.
Which probably should have, and even the width didn't even meet road standards, and in fact part of that went in before the road standards was adopted.
Right.
So part of that, you couldn't make the first part meet the road standards because they didn't exist at that point.
Yeah. What I'm saying though, Randy, is why would a fellow with 3 lots be responsible for everything around that road?
He was only responsible for the portion in front of them 3 lots.
Okay.
He wasn't responsible for the original first part of the road. He was never told he had to do anything with that part. He was on the part there because of the lot size, and we had our hands tied with. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a little bit of leeway and variance with pre-existing. We wasn't making him fix anything from the road up to that point. It was just that portion that he platted. Is that correct, Bob? What he said. That's what he went and got the variance on the road width.
Yeah.
We worked with him on that, but he had to put the turnaround in, so he had a turnaround. Now he may change that and replat or whatever. Yeah. But.
Okay, but you're saying in front of those 3 lots, he would have to have curb and gutter, and just half the street or whatever. I mean, that would be silly to me.
Well, he got a variance on the width because there wasn't room to even do that. Okay. So they give him a variance on the width. I couldn't give him the variance because I'd be going against that.
Right. Exactly.
And neither could Bob. So that's the reason you went to the Board of Adjustments. The first part of the road didn't matter because you couldn't make him do anything with that. He wasn't obligated to do anything with it. They were going to have to drive that to get to those lots.
Okay.
The guy before didn't do a very good job.
Well, he went broke, that's why he bought these lots.
Well, yeah.
That's not and going anywhere else. I mean, it's right. Can't go.
You're right.
It's a dead end road. And the road from T Highway all the way down there is 40 foot.
Part of the reason it constrained Nathan's portion on that was where the original guy built the wall. He left most of his right of way sitting up there in no man's land.
What are you talking down T Highway?
Down at the end of Mountain Grove Road down there.
Where did he take that from the board?
No.
Well, he did take it, but he didn't ask for everything that he asked.
Yeah, he really just asked for the road width.
I did a layout.
It'd be so much easier.
Down by Fine Edition.
A little bit of it where you have a
25-foot right of way. When I got in to do our lots, I had to jump up to 50.
But you can't do that because of paths thing where it hasn't been designed.
You had to come down through Fine Edition.
It's just never ending.
It wasn't going anywhere else. That's why I say each case, it's hard to do that before we could look at each case on its merits, because you got to have some kind of guidelines to go to hold everybody to the same.
I understand, and the hard part is if you take an old road that only has a 30-foot right-of-way, and somebody goes to the very end of that 2-mile, 30-foot narrow, curvy road, and he builds a big development back there, 80 homes.
But that happens all the time. Yeah, I agree with you there, that the developer ought to...
Yeah, ought to fix it up.
Yes. But after that happens, then the county comes in and builds Buchanan Road.
Well, you run into them all over.
But the reason is they're in the first place, so you wouldn't make any more of them places.
There's a lot of them
make them build lighter road.
Where you can just barely drive down them until you get to the subdivision, and that looks like an interstate. You know, there are several of them over that way.
Well, what was that development, Doug, over on Table Rock Lake where it went through down there where Jim Heckman lived, and that those people, and they put a subdivision in below it or some kind of thing, and it had to go through this subdivision, and it was an old one, and it was only 30 foot wide, and it had a bunch of people.
Was that the Fifth Hatchery?
No. This was down off of, what's the road up on 165? It goes off toward the lake down there, not towards Stormy Point, but pretty close in there.
Oh.
It's right in that area. I can't remember. It's been quite a while ago, but they tried to develop that 4 or 5 times. And the people, it was going right through a neighborhood that was built down there on the road, but there was a road on through there.
Gunnison Hill?
It was right down, they wanted to do one down on the lake and build condos and all that sort of thing.
That's what they done on Gunner Hill. They went down in there through that subdivision.
Yeah. And that's the one that Jim Heckman used to live in?
And built the condos down there right on the point.
Yeah.
They burnt, three times?
Friction fire?
Ain't they burnt? They burnt 3 times, ain't they? Twice. Yeah, but that's Gunner Hill.
That's right,
I've got a question. I mean, we put the contingencies and everything on this, and like I'm saying, it's stormwater, and then it falls back to us once the board here approves, say, a plat or, for instance, I'll use the one coming up here that we've been looking at, and whether it gets voted in or out, but if it gets voted in, then they got to meet these contingencies. But if a engineered plan or one doesn't get to fit, and I can't sign off on it, then it doesn't happen. Is that correct? We don't see an engineered stormwater plan.
if it don't meet the standards, then it can't happen.
Yeah.
We've had other projects, not exactly like this, but that we couldn't approve because it didn't meet the standards, but it was still something that wasn't bothering anything, so you send it on to the Board of Adjustments and let them do it.
Well, I understand that, but here's some of the things that they probably don't have enough time to put all this together for the board to look at or look to vote on. It gets approved. Now it we got that road in there to... They've got to provide that, and what if that never happens? And it,
you mean they don't do what they say they're going to do?
They don't do what they say they're going to do.
Then they're in violation.
So what do you do after that point?
it's approached like a lot of other things, one problem at a time.
Is there a fine they have to pay if they're out?
Well, they're supposed to put if it's a they put up a deposit.
Right.
Yeah, but it still goes through the county attorney.
Now, which item are we looking at? I mean, if something's not in compliance, we refer it to the prosecuting attorney's office.
Okay. That's what Randy was asking. What happened if they didn't conform?
Now, like on a, are you talking more like along the lines of a subdivision? Or?
Well, he's talking about if they start a project, and then they and the stuff's in there and it's approved and everything, and then they don't do it. They go belly up, or for whatever reason decide not to do it. Then who takes over?
Yeah,
like Indian Ridge.
Yeah.
I think somebody's back in there now.
Yeah, they're stirring around.
That old boy from Mountain Home that owns the concrete.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah, I remember that.
His boy bought it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
King?
Yeah. Yeah.
Guy King.
Yeah, Gary, the youngest boy bought that. Mm-hmm. Had a repo sale or something. He didn't give a lot for it.
Well, they were supposed to sold it to Jimmy Jones, and then they retracted because they owed him a lot of money on his work that he had done there.
Yeah, well, the rumor I heard, they sold it the way they did, and then they come back, and the guy that bought it paid Jones off, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, would about had to, because he could have filed on them immediately.
I don't think he had a lien against it at the time.
It would have been very smart to not straighten it out with him.
He might have. What, anybody else want to talk about anything else?
I do have a quick question about the Acacia Club project. The developer has brought that trailer on there basically to snub his nose at us and all the homeowners over there. Wouldn't he be required, or would they be required, to have a Division I permit to place that trailer on that property, and did that happen?
That's part of the problem. He actually did obtain a permit. But we don't have any building codes or any kind of, as long as a structure meets the setback requirements. Now, nobody can occupy this structure because it's not connected to water and sewer.
And there's no requirement to connect to water and sewer if you obtain within a certain time frame?
There is if you're going to get an occupancy permit.
Yeah, there is if you're going to get an occupancy permit.
But there's nobody occupying.
Well, now, the county did here a few years ago pass a nuisance or a...
Yeah, for a certain period of time, they had a nuisance ordinance.
Like I said, that was a totally illegal deal.
Well, yeah.
And I got fired off this commission because I objected to it.
Well, you didn't stay gone very long.